Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It's a Young Guns takeover of the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. My name is Alec Medford of the KNC Masterpiece. His name is Blake Elliott of The Fan After Dark. And we got Chris Strong on the ones and twos for you, the Turn It On, Leave It On listener. You are just about 19 minutes and change away from the expressway. We go uninterrupted to the top of the hour. All kinds of sports content to get to, including the interesting conversation that Blake and I had before the show about the future of J.J. McCarthy and the Minnesota Vikings. Intrigued to talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. Plus, we'll do some Dallas Cowboys and Dallas Mavericks New Year's resolutions coming up during the expressway as well. But right now, I do have some NFL overreaction or reality for each and every one of you. 877-881-1053 to answer these questions along with us. I'm going to start with the Cowboys. We talked a little bit with Mickey Spagnola about said player. NFL overreaction or reality, the football playing career of Ezekiel Elliott is done. And we all know that it was a very uninspiring season from him, because a lot of people levied expectations that we dove really deep into earlier in the show about some unfair expectations on him and towards the team, just on what he can and should be doing for the team, lead ultimately to his release. He's on a really cheap contract, so you think, huh, maybe someone will pick him up on waivers, you know, for a playoff run. Nope, didn't get claimed. He's a free agent. And there's no rumblings or anything about him potentially signing with another team. So I say it's reality. I think the playing career of Ezekiel Elliott is done. I don't, in my mind, I don't see another team giving him a flyer or anything. Like Mickey said, might not be a bad idea to pick him up, as, you know, on the practice squad as a, as he said, an insurance policy. And then you elevate him from the practice squad and you don't have to pay him really anything. It would make sense, but I just, at this point in time, I don't think anybody does it.
I don't think he gets on another team. I don't think he plays meaningful football anymore, because I think no team would have signed him this offseason if it weren't for the Cowboys and doing it just out of love for their boy Zeke. So I'm going to go with nonfiction. I think this is reality.
NFL overreaction or reality. We go across the NFL now. I want to go to the AFC. Talk about the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, gosh. That's my team. My boys.
Oh, so you're a Bengals fan.
You see that sticky note up there? They were 1-4. I said the 1-4 Bengals would make the playoffs, and they're 1 week away.
Well, that actually ties in perfectly to this question I have for you. NFL overreaction or reality. The Bengals will miss the playoffs, and they are about to embark on a team overhaul.
Nope.
And what do I mean by that? The first part is pretty simple. They're not going to make the playoffs. Two, they have a lot of questions with their roster construction. And I'll even say it. A lot of people have said it. It's nothing new. Their head coach. Zach Taylor has had some blunders in his tenure there. A very talented team with a very bad defense. Probably should have more wins on the season than they do, because if they're even one game over 500 right now, Joe Burrow is probably the MVP of the NFL this season, with the otherworldly stats he has put up this season and the way he has carried that team on his back. Zach Taylor might be on his ninth life as the Bengals coach after Cincinnati outlasted Bo Nix and the Broncos on Saturday. He opted to go for it on fourth down twice early in the game and nearly mismanaged the end of that game before they measled out with a win. And then you talk about some of the other decisions they're going to have to make regarding T. Higgins. T. Higgins is due for a contract, and he's kind of pulled the Micah Parsons route, saying, I don't have to be the highest paid at my position. I just want to win. And something interesting that might help, I think, is he switched agents and now has the same agent as Jamar Chase,
Jamari,
who got a massive contract from the Bengals with said agent. So there could be a world where they have to get rid of T. Higgins because of salary cap reasons, Joe Burrow taking up a big chunk of that, and there could be a situation where they miss the playoffs and Zach Taylor gets fired. NFL overreaction or reality?
It's an overreaction. The Bengals are going to win against the Steelers this weekend. The Broncos are going to choke and lose. The Bengals then will make it to the playoffs. And like you mentioned, them having that same agent, Jamar and T. Higgins, they're going to find a way to make it shake. T. Higgins is going to take a little bit of a pay cut. Understand that this is a team he's got the best chance of being a star and winning on. And the Bengals will stay pat. Now, I do think there has to be some tertiary moves to be made around the exterior of the team, whether that be the O-line, the defense. Oh, my gosh. It seems like all the good offense this year have no good defense to back them up. Zach Taylor, that's still kind of up in the air. I'm not completely sold on him, but I'm not calling for his job yet. So I think there is some things that need to change. I do not think it'll be within the offensive core of T. Higgins, Jamar, and Burrow, and they will make the playoffs, and I think whoever they play in the first round, they'll upset them and win.
Ooh.
Which will be the Bills, I guess, right? It's almost set. It'd be the Bills.
And for the fun of it, and from the 940, the Dolphins also have to lose for the Bengals to make it.
I have to check the tiebreaker on that because I don't think that's true.
I thought there was another game that they're dependent on.
I know for sure if the Broncos win, they're in. I do know that. And then if the Broncos lose, the Dolphins and Bengals have a chance. But I think the Dolphins have already kind of punted on their season. They're playing Snoop Huntley.
Let's see. The Bengals do need some help, it seems. Next steps for Cincinnati involve two teams losing on Sunday.
Okay.
One of them is the Broncos, who are going against the Chiefs, a team that can rest its starters. Yep. So that's already tough. And they need the Dolphins to lose.
So if the Dolphins and Bengals both win, then the Dolphins have the tiebreaker over them? Because they both had the same amount of wins. They're both 8-8. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they definitely need some help.
Well, Dolphins are going to lose anyways. They're playing Snoop Huntley.
Yeah, but there's a lot of weird games this week where you have backup quarterbacks and stuff. It's a really ugly week of NFL games. There's a couple that are really important, like Sunday Night Football with the Vikings and the Lions. But there's not many teams that still have anything to play for.
Dolphins are playing the Jets too.
Which I can't even tell you how that game's going to go. That ugly, ugly, ugly.
That's a crazy way to end the season.
But we were talking about clock mismanagement, game mismanagement, just a second ago with Zach Taylor. NFL overreaction or reality, Raheem Morris cost the Falcons a trip to the postseason. And I say that because they had their best chance to win the NFC South and reach the postseason if they beat the Washington Commanders on Sunday Night Football. They failed to do that. Morris should have called the first of his two timeouts remaining in regulation after Michael Penix found Darnell Mooney on the first play of their final drive of the game. Instead of keeping at least 30 seconds on the clock, the Falcons ran their second play with 17 seconds remaining. They found themselves at their own 44-yard line for three plays before calling a timeout when the play clock expired. Then, they needed to kick a 56-yarder, which they missed, as time expired despite a pass interference call. So NFL overreaction or reality, Raheem Morris costed the Falcons a playoff spot.
It's not the first time he's done this. He's done this before this season. It's had bad clock management happen in the first half of this game, happened in the second half to end the game as well. For some reason, he went to the first half with three timeouts in his pocket. I don't know if he thought they'd carry over, but they don't, Raheem, just letting you know. Bad clock mismanagement, especially. Why do we see the bad clock management with the young quarterback? Why is that always apparent? We saw this with Caleb Williams and Eberflus, the end of that Lions game. Like, if you're going to have bad clock management, you're doing it with a veteran quarterback. It's like, hey, in your head, you might not say this publicly, but you're like, in your head, you're thinking, hey, my quarterback, who's very smart, is going to call a timeout or going to spike the ball or going to get the ball out of bounds. I don't have to really think for him. With a rookie quarterback, you have to have the training wheels still on. You still have to be, hey, this guy maybe doesn't realize the moment. Let me have a timeout ready. Let me have a second timeout ready. Let me let him know exactly what we're going to do. I don't know how many more times we're going to watch a rookie quarterback or a very young quarterback and the head coach is looking just as dumbfounded on the sideline, mouth open, just like, man, sure would be nice if you called a timeout right now. You call the timeout. What are we doing? So, yes, Raheem Morris cost his team a playoff spot. I said that the Falcons would lose out to end the season 0-2 the last couple, and the Buccaneers would win out and win that division, and I think that's what's going to happen because the Falcons going Falcon.
I just want to know why in the year of 2024, now 2025, why are professional head coaches still screwing up end-of-game situations with the game clock?
It's not even an overcomplicated one. It's not like, oh, we got to do this and timeout here. And
this one made perfect sense. It felt like a linear path to avoiding overtime, but instead, you ask your kicker in a very important spot to kick a 50-plus yarder, and he misses, and then you lose the game. I don't understand why, in this day and age, with all of the technology we have, with all of the analytics, you know, and everybody talks about that. Everybody and their mother wants to say, oh, the analytics guy upstairs telling them to go for it here and stuff. And it's like, yeah, that stuff is 100% true. Why do they not have a guy buzzing the head coach saying, take a timeout? Why is the offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator, special teams coordinator even, if they are experienced enough, if they've been around, and really you don't need to be the smartest guy on the field to say, we are under a minute and we have two timeouts left. Take one. You know, you just completed a pass over the middle of the field and the clock is still running and you could have had 30 plus seconds left. Instead, now you have 17 with two timeouts. You don't get to take that timeout with you to overtime. You don't get to put it in your back pocket, take it home and bring it with you and have four timeouts in the first half of your next game.
And that's a young team over across the board. It's not like there's many veterans even on outside of Penix. Bijan's a young guy, Drake London, Pitts. Like, there's not like, we've got all this experience. Like, you got a bunch of young guys in a huge moment to get a playoff spot, and you're just, I don't know, trying to be too smart, trying to be too cute. I don't know. Maybe Raheem Morris can explain that one day, but too many faults for a team that needs to win, and you would hope that their coach could help them climb out of that.
Yeah, and from the 940, Kirk Cousins cost them the playoffs by playing awful most of the year, which all in all, yes, that ended up being the biggest failure in the NFL, outside of maybe the New York Jets experiment, you know, everything that they had going on there. Ultimately, Kirk Cousins is the biggest disappointment in the NFL, which I hate saying because it's easy to root for that guy, but he just has been a traffic cone in the pocket. He's not mobile. Like, he's what everybody says is Chris Paul is in the NBA. He is literally a cone in the pocket, only works exclusively from the gun and cannot move. But they kind of got a little bit of a breath of life from Michael Penix, and it seemed like that offense was rolling with him. So you got to reward them with good coaching decisions after that. And that's a one game, one situation where you could have propelled yourself into a very beneficial situation for your young quarterback to get some meaningful reps. Now you're scratching and clawing, hoping for something else to happen away from your team to help you out, and now this could end up being a very pointless game all in all. NFL overreaction or reality: the Raiders and Giants will regret their late season wins. And does it, at this point, I'm just going to ask, does any team want the number one pick? Yeah, it feels like nobody wants the number one pick this year because they keep winning and costing themselves the number one pick. Like, Do you not want, you know, a Shedeur Sanders? Do you not want Cam Ward? Teams that have no quarterback for the long-term future are winning games that they don't need to be winning. And look, I understand. You saw it from the Giants players after their win against the Colts. They were literally verbally saying, screw your number one pick. Like, we are out here playing for our jobs. We are playing for each other. We are playing, some of those guys, for our careers, you know? And I get that, but if you're the front office, especially John Mara, the owner of the Giants, he's got to be kicking himself that they won that game, because you saw from Hard Knocks, over the offseason how hurt he was when Saquon left. You know, and he said he's our most popular player. We can't let him go to the division rival, and he does just that. So now you got to think, huh? If you're the owner of the Giants, like, we got a chance to draft a really popular guy, and this is going to be nice. We're going to boost jersey sales, and maybe it'll expedite a little bit of a rebuild here. Nope, you're not going to have that choice anymore. And same for the Raiders, who it looked like Shedeur Sanders for a while was kind of telegraphing he wanted to play there.
Can I give you an interesting stat that I was looking at when we were doing that Kirk Cousins?
Entertain me.
How many passes outside of the pocket the entire NFL season do you think Kirk Cousins completed this season?
Five.
Outside.
Five.
Less.
Are you serious?
Three.
That's criminal. We talked about his agent being a legend at the bank. He's more than a legend. Like, he is the bank.
So instead of calling people pocket passers or scarecrows or whatever, we just call them Cousins now. He's looking real Cousins back there. Doesn't want to move from the pocket, Jim.
Such a Kirk.
I mean, to complete three, I mean, you've only had to attempt maybe like six or seven, right? I would assume it's not even much more than that.
No, what would be hilarious is that that's all he attempted. So he was perfect outside the pocket.
Just say 100% outside the pocket. Don't ask me how many attempts, but 100% outside
that
the pocket.
That is amazing. I'm glad you mentioned
currently
that.
Currently slated with the number one pick is the Patriots.
Which is interesting because they have a quarterback on a rookie contract. So if I'm Elliot Wolf, the guy who's running things out there now, even though it's like he's got the GM title, but he doesn't, it's a weird situation. I move on from that pick. I trade it. I get a ton of assets back. And just like I said a second ago, you expedite that rebuild with a bunch of picks.
Do you try to make deal with the Browns, who have the third slated pick? It goes Titans, Browns, Giants, Jags. I think the Browns could be real desperate to get that number one pick maybe and get a Shedeur.
I don't know if the Browns are going to go quarterback because they just restructured Deshaun's deal.
You're right. Maybe the Giants, even though they've messed themselves up, now they're going to have to trade back up to one.
Someone's going to be desperate enough. You just saw it a couple years ago with Carolina.
Yep.
They were desperate enough because they said, we have nothing to look forward to at the quarterback position. There's got to be, like, I don't see a world where Vegas is not entertaining.
I think 7, 8, and 10 are really interesting totals. Have this to chew on. 7 is the Jets. We just talked about Aaron Rodgers. What if they make a move for the top two? 8 is the Raiders, who we know want a quarterback but keep winning games at the end. They're kind of screwing themselves. And then 10 is the Saints. They need a quarterback too.
And they're in cap hell. They can't afford a quarterback. They need to go find one.
They need to draft one. So.
They need to draft one. That's a good point. And Spencer Rattler, it seems like they don't believe in him all that much. As much as Saints fans want to tell me he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, I don't think they actually, the team really sees too much in him. He's more of a backup guy. Man, that's a good point. I might have to bring that back up later because I got to think about that.
There's going
to
be some movement in the top 10 for sure.
Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, we enter the expressway where we got a lot to talk about here. Interesting JJ McCarthy conversation, but 877-881-1053. We want to hear your DFW sports New Year's resolutions. Cowboys, Stars, Rangers, Mavericks. If you have a New Year's resolution that you can magically make come true for your favorite DFW sports team, let us know. 877-881-1053. We have that plus the Pro Bowl is set. Do you even care? Next on The Fan.